Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, The Crossover.
Chapter number 6, verse number 11, concluding at verse number 18, he says, "You see how a large letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many of you desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you with their circumcision, or they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest you should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory." God forbid that I shall glory. What he's saying is, I'm not glorying, I've been circumcised. He says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified in me. God, that's profound. I read it again. It says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified in me, and I unto the world. For Christ Jesus, neither is circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Paul is deep. See, that circumcision stuff, don't get hung up on that. Whether you're circumcised, don't get hung up on that. He says, because none of that stuff really means a lot. But have you become a new creature? Do me a favor, ask your neighbor, have you become a new creature? My teaching is in vain if I do not become the newness of Christ in the earth. Stay with me, Holden. My teaching is in vain if I don't become the newness of Christ in the earth. Ephesians tells us that we come to the full stature of the Son of Man. God's trying to take us somewhere. But if we're not careful, our law will cause us to stay where we've always been. And Paul is trying to say, get over into the liberty of Christ. Let me keep reading and not commentating, all right? It says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. He's saying, I don't love this world anymore, and that's been crucified. For in Christ Jesus, neither is circumcision availing anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. That's loaded. I don't know if I'll get there. He says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. They talking, but I'm showing. They got a lot of hot air, but I got a lot of works. He says, for henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. To the Galatians written for Rome. For a few moments today, I want to talk about the crossover. Do me a favor, catch somebody by the hand and say, neighbor, you got to understand there's a thing called the crossover. Probably I could have labeled this part two of bruised and wounded purposefully. Last week I talked from a subject that we've been bruised and we've been wounded, but it is purposefully. The things that have happened unto me are for the furtherance of the gospel. There's a whole nother place of living when you realize that it had to happen like that. God. There's a whole place of freedom when you realize I needed to go through Samaria. There's a whole nother place of living when you understand the providence of God. And God allowed it because it had to happen because I needed that. Somebody said to me real loud, I needed that. I needed that. So for a few moments today, I want to talk about the crossover. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to now strengthen me. I ask you to preach through me, God. My prayer is simple at this hour. God, make me an oracle. Make me a sage, God. Let me speak to your people where they are, but more importantly, where there is, where they are to go. God, let me, oh God, speak even from the youngest to the oldest with plainness of speech. God, I don't want to be complicated. I don't want to be impressive. I don't want to impress them with my understanding of the Greek or the Hebrew. I don't want to do none of that. But I want, with great simplicity, I want them to understand that there is a thing called the crossover. And when that season arrives, they got to go through it. And they got to wait on you. And then you got to advance them. Let me speak today, Lord. Let me declare truth in this world, in this sanctuary, God. Let me be as Apostle Paul. Let me be set for the defense of the gospel. I thank you. I glorify your name, God. You brought a people here to hear your word, God. And I thank you for ears to hear. And more importantly, I thank you for a will to do. Once they've heard the word, God, they're going to be doers of the word, God. And I thank you for a world that we will change, Lord. I thank you, Father, that we're going to hear the word and it is going to empower us. It's going to build us up. It's going to make God so large in us that we're going to go out of here and we're going to impact and we're going to heal and we're going to deliver. And the whole Baltimore City is going to tremble because of us, Lord. Because we've been built up, God, in our most holy faith, God. Make me an oracle. Make me a sage, God. Let me speak, God, that you be mighty to save. Yes. Make me an oracle, make me a sage, Lord. That you be mighty to save, and you be mighty to heal, and you be mighty to deliver. Save somebody, deliver somebody. Be mighty to heal. God, let the sick get up and declare I'm healed, Lord. Let blind eyes open, Lord. And they went everywhere preaching the gospel, and the Lord working with them, mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. You said these signs shall follow them that believe. So as we preach, God, we're going to see, oh God, miracles, and we're going to see signs, and we're going to see wonders, Lord. Hey, God, you're going to put families back together. Hey, God. You're going to do what our hands couldn't do. As we preach, God, you're going to let the spirit flow out of here, and it's going to flow all the way on to Morgan and Townsend University. Hey, God. You're going to do what you said, God. When we preach, God, you're going to do what you said. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you. I'll be careful to give you all the glory and honor. God, you're going to rebuild the broken community called Baltimore City. You're going to do it through us, Lord. God, you're going to rebuild a broken city and a broken community called Baltimore City, and you're going to do it through us, God. And I thank you. It doesn't make a difference how you do it now. You can do it through a song. You can do it through a revival, God. You can do it through a work environment, God. Lord, you're going to save Baltimore City, Lord. Well, God, I thank you. And I give you the glory, Lord. Nothing's too hard for you, Lord. Nothing's too hard for you, God. So as you preach to us today, get us in our assigned lanes, God. As you preach to us, God, let mantles fall, God, that was from future generations, God. And as we preach today, God, let, oh God, new anointings break out. Hey, God, let new anointings break out in this place. You want to do something, Lord. We've abided here long enough, Lord. You want to do something, God, and it's greater, God, than the president, regardless of what his number is, 44 or 45. You want to do something that's greater than a president. You want to do something greater than a world dictating leadership. So the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And that's what you want to do, and we will not stop declaring it. Preach word today that the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. For the earth is yours and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. There's no devil in hell that can stop you. There's no demon on assignment that can deter you. There's no prince. There's no principality. In fact, God, you're bringing them down now, Lord. Thank you. Every prince and every principality is falling down now, Lord. Glory. person and say, the crossover, the crossover, the crossover, the crossover, the crossover. In Philippians, Apostle Paul said, some indeed preach Christ even for envy and strife, and some also for goodwill. One preach Christ for contention, not sincerely, supposing to add to my afflictions and to my bonds so profound. Have y'all ever read a scripture that's just so close to your life that it just makes you shake your head for days? If you haven't, keep reading the Bible. That's the only book that's alive that'll do that. All them other books don't have the potential or the power. It says, some indeed preach Christ even for envy and strife, and some also for goodwill. One preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add to my afflictions and to my bonds. But others of love, not knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Critical question that must be answered this morning is, and the sooner we answer it, the better off that we're going to be, is what are we set for to do in life? Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter number 1, he said, after I've gone through all of these things, been bruised and been wounded, he said, but none of these things don't move me, and now I'm set for the defense of the gospel. He said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. So it sort of kind of gives me a revelation that at some point of life, you got to become set for something. I'm set to go to work. I'm set to, amen, have a healthy marriage. I'm set to raise these children in an ungodly world and become godly children. What are you set for that you cannot be moved? Take it down just a little bit, hold it so everybody can hear what the pastor is saying. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, what are you set for? 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 The sooner you answer that question, the better off you're going to be. Because if you're not careful, you're set for one thing at 15, but you're set for something else at 25. And if you're not careful, by the time you're 35, you're now set for something else. And by the time you're 45, and by the time you get 50 and 60, you're a grumpy old person. And you're miserable because you never got set. Apostle Paul in Philippians, he said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, what are you set for? What are you set for? What are you set for? What purpose are you here for? What are you going to give, or what effort are you going to give towards the rest of your life? And you, do me a favor, talk to somebody, say, you can't keep waiting. You can't keep waiting. You're not 15 anymore. I'm not the only old one in here no more. I know y'all call me the speed limit and laugh and talk about PL getting old, but if I'm getting old, guess what? If I'm getting old, and some of y'all been here a long time, if you're not careful, you'll be getting old, but you're not set for anything. You'll move from one relationship to another relationship. You'll move from one job to another job. Apostle Paul said, and he's profound, and I could dig a little deeper, but I only do that in leadership when I'm only talking to pastors, ministers, elders, and deacons. What are you set for? What is your purpose? What are you going to give your efforts to accomplish? Do me a favor, ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, what are you going to give your efforts to accomplish? We're supposed to be working to leave a mark that cannot be erased. But if we skip and we hop and we dance around our whole lives, we will never be set for anything. Apostle Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Here's a very simple question, the way to answer that. In this stage of life, what are you really trying to accomplish? Can y'all come a little closer? If you 40 trying to be the 20, wrong. If you like Stella trying to get your groove gone. Don't leave me alone. Y'all, y'all don't want me to come that close, but I am going to come anyway. Some of us are too old for that. By my age, I need to be caring how to make my community better, not chase something that I ought not be chasing. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. And Apostle Paul sort of kind of lets us know that I got to the stage that the only thing I was set for was for the defense of the gospel. He had literally addicted himself to the ministry. And that's biblical. For those of you that do not know, that's biblical. To addict yourself to the ministry. That's how you become a true disciple. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Ask your neighbor one more time. Neighbor, what are you set for? What are you set for? What are you set for? Got to get to a place that whatever it is that God has called you to it, and whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, whatever God's goal has given to you, you got to get a place that I'm on track for it now, and I'm not going to be turned around. Are y'all listening? You got to get to a stage that don't move me. Come on, practice up. Say, that don't move me. You got to get to a stage, for those of you that are married, y'all ain't going to say nothing back to me, but I'm going to preach this kind of stuff anyway. You got to get a stage in your life that you say, me and my house going to serve the Lord. We're going to be holy in here. Come on, married folks, talk back to me. I'll come to y'all singles in a little bit. You got to say, the children, me, wife, we're going to be holy. Y'all better please hear me. You got to get set for these things, and you got to know how to stand your ground and don't back off of it, regardless of what you're facing, regardless of the difficulties, and regardless of how uncomfortable it is. I'm giving 1,000 to love one woman the rest of my life. And she knows she don't like me to talk like this, but I talk like this, and I got one prayer. God, take me out of here before you take her out of here. I don't want to do this again. Okay, I need y'all to get y'all to sidebar why I don't want to do it again. Okay, that's what I thought. Y'all don't want the sidebar. I ask the Lord every day, Lord, if you're going to take one of us home, take me. Let her try to figure out if she dating a man or a woman. That's all I'm going to say. I can't handle it. I've been in jail. Okay, see, I told you, I shouldn't even went there, shouldn't I? Lynn, you told me, didn't you? Don't go. I'm set to make my house a house that serves the Lord. I'm in school now, working on another degree. I'm set that I'm going to finish that degree. I'm moving into community, trying to show community how to build what's broken. I'm moving into business sectors, trying to show folks this is how you build a godly business and it multiplies. I'm set for these things, and I'm trying to ask you today before I get to my message, what are you set for? What are you determined to accomplish? What do you know your purpose is now that you will not get deterred? Because Apostle Paul in our text, he says, if you're set, then you're going to have to go over some crossovers. You're going to have to go through some stages and phases. One of the greatest words of wisdom that I ever received is when an older bishop told me one day, he said, you're going to be a good pastor. He said, you're going to be some phenomenal other things, but you have to learn that life and ministry move through stages and phases. And I've now, this was probably about 30 years ago when I was told this, I've now recognized 7 stages that you got to go through. With life and ministry, there are 7 stages, and the 6th stage that I'll get to is called the crossover. Stage number 1, I'm almost there. Take me home, holder. Number 1, if you're going to get to the crossover, then the first stage you got to get through is you got to be birthed. You have to be birthed. Apostle Paul says, my dear little children, who I labor that Christ may be birthed in you. There is a natural birth, but then also there is a spiritual birth. The first phase of life that you have to live is you have to be birthed. You have to be born. And listen, it's not just natural. Nicodemus, you must be born again. How can a man that is born enter back into his mother's womb? No, Nicodemus, you must be born of water and you must be born of spirit. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, have you been born again? Can't nobody answer that for you. You can't get in on grandma's religion. Nobody else can confess for you. You have to be naturally born, but then you have to be spiritually born. But it's not just birthing in natural and spiritual. There are realms of callings that we're birthed into. There's realms of calling, and I won't talk that much about that today, but there's realms of calling that we're birthed into. Second stage is delivered into unknown world and unfamiliar atmospheres. Delivered, stage two, delivered into unknown worlds and unfamiliar atmospheres. Once you're born, you're going to then be placed in an unknown world. You're going to be placed in an familiar atmosphere. And I had time, I take into the book of Exodus, because Exodus talks about that the children of Israel, they begin to be birthed so fast, and the atmosphere that they was placed in, it was the atmosphere that was trying to destroy them. You're not the first to be born in the midst of dysfunction. Sometimes we think our story is the only sad story of an absentee father or something wrong with our mother or being raised by mama. No. All of us are birthed and delivered into an unfamiliar world. And you got to be birthed and delivered into it and survive it all. It got so bad for the children of Exodus that the Pharaoh and his wicked taskmasters was trying to kill who was being born. Have you ever felt like since I came into this earth, something trying to take me out of here? But you got to live through it. Come on, tell somebody you got to live through it. You got to live through it. Second stage that we get to, delivered into unknown world and unfamiliar atmospheres. We have to be like the children of Israel that was born in the desert and the desert couldn't kill them. You didn't hear what I just said. There was a generation that was born in the desert and the desert couldn't kill them. We've got to be able to be born in unpredictable and situations that we should not have survived and then survive anyway. When they write our memoir, they got to talk about that he was born, his mother didn't have a lot of money, but they made it anyway. Stage number two is we delivered into unknown worlds and unfamiliar atmosphere. I got to get through, amen, the crossover. Stage number three, we are legislated. Once we are delivered, then God begins to legislate us for ordered growth. And you can see these teachings in the book of Exodus, and you can see these teachings in the book of Genesis, you can see these teachings in the book of Deuteronomy and in Leviticus. God begins to legislate them. Come a little closer, please. The worse the conditions are when we're born and delivered, the more legislation we're gonna have to go through. You didn't hear what I said. The worse off the conditions that we were born and delivered into, the more legislation we're going to have to go through. Because whether we're born with a silver spoon or whether we're born in the hood, he's trying to make us all holy unto the Lord. Okay, you missed what I just said. See, somehow we think that the standards are different according to where we were birthed at. But the standards are not different. He's trying to make us all holy unto the Lord. And sometimes, because where we were born, God got to take us through more legislation because we have no understanding of divine order. Okay, y'all gonna make me do it like that. He's trying to get that out of you. That bad badge of honor that you brag about where you was born at and you was gangster. And you, he's trying to get you all of that there because he's trying to get you sanctified. He's trying to get you holy. He wants you to be able to have a testimony because the test you went through, not that you still like that and you saved. That ain't nothing to brag about. I wish I could talk to my boy from Golden State because he wrote a good book, but I'm trying to get him to understand, man, you got to get out of all that cussing. You saved. Okay, it's not for Andrew, it's for some of y'all. Some of y'all, I need y'all to know, God is trying to legislate you to get some of that cussing out your mouth. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all thought, okay, no, you saved now and you love Jesus. They're not looking for MF and GD. Okay, y'all gonna make me go there. They're looking for blessed and hello and thank you, Jesus, and hallelujah. The more you was born in condition, the more he gonna have to legislate you. And when God is legislating us, it ain't fun. When God's trying to bring our life to order, that he can get us to growth, he start telling us where we can go and where we can. Go read the book of Leviticus, because this is where I take that from. Go read the book of Leviticus. He's talking about how they dress up their offering. He's talking about how they paint the curtains that they had in the tabernacle. He's talking about you got to paint them a certain way. Go read the book of Leviticus, because it gets quite old. He says, even the sacrifice you bring to me, it better be clean. And I need to let some of y'all know, because where you were born and what you went through, he gonna take a lot of legislating you to get you to order growth.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.